You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. My name is Nancy Montori, and this is my new labor of love and fifth podcast. If you are new to Ordinary Vegan's podcast, I advocate a plant-based diet for health and wellness, for the environment, and for animal welfare. A plant-based diet is centered on whole or minimally refined plants. It's a diet based on fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes like beans and lentils, and healthy fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado. It excludes all meat, dairy, and eggs. I created this podcast to encourage you, serve you, educate you, and support you every step of the way to help make your transition to a plant-based diet as easy and as fun as possible. If you're listening to Ordinary Vegan's podcast for the first time, I recommend you listen to my very first podcast, Getting Started on a Plant-Based Diet. You can find all of Ordinary Vegan's podcasts on iTunes or on my website, ordinaryvegan.net/playlist. I would like to say thank you so much for all your kind words, ratings, and incredibly generous reviews on iTunes. Your feedback means so much to me. Some of you have reached out and expressed to me that you can't imagine making such a big change in your diet. And I totally understand. Giving up an old part of ourselves can be very scary, and that even applies to making new food choices. But when you make the decision to no longer eat foods that are unhealthy for your body, you are experiencing the highest form of love. Love for yourself. Once you make that commitment, you'll be able to manifest that love in all areas of your life. So if you haven't already taken the plant-based leap, right off the bat, I want to share a few things that will happen to you when you do. You will live longer and have a better quality of life. Not only that, when you are in a healthy state of mind, you end up making good choices in all areas of your life. If you're lacking focus or suffer from depression, nurturing yourself with healthy food choices can help make you a happier person and a more focused person. And the more you nurture your body, the more you nurture your spiritual growth. Some people look at me skeptically when I start talking about the connection between spirituality and veganism. But after a few months on a plant-based diet, I became aware of a heightened sensitivity and a deeper appreciation of beauty. It was as if life became more sharp and vivid. I always say becoming vegan is like taking a truth serum because it makes you stop and think about and see things in a different light. It really helps bring life into balance. In retrospect, it's very easy to understand this huge metamorphosis. High levels of dietary animal protein and fat slow down the body and mind. A body runs off what you feed it. And if you're walking around with a sluggish body and foggy mind, it's probably the fuel you're feeding it. I encourage you to try a plant-based diet, even for a month, and see what a difference it makes in your life. Because you deserve a healthy future. Before we get started on this week's discussion, why a vegan can eat 33% more food but consume 33% less calories, I want to talk about the connection between childhood trauma and disease. There are so many reasons we can become sick, and I want to make sure that I share them all with you. If you experienced a childhood trauma, you are definitely not alone. 60% of all adults report abuse or other difficult family circumstances during childhood. That includes recurrent physical abuse, emotional abuse, physical neglect, living with someone who is chronically depressed, having one or no parents, or living with an alcohol or drug abuser in the household, or a death of a loved one. When I was 12 years old, I lost one of the most important people in my life, my grandmother. We were extremely close, and I spent many nights a week sleeping on her couch so she wouldn't have to be alone. I didn't mind. I loved spending time with her. We would read, play board games, or cook up a batch of fudge. Her home was a refuge from my chaotic home life. I was alone with her the night she died. I was sleeping on the couch when she called out to me and said she didn't feel well. She sent me to get her pills off a high shelf where she kept them out of the reach of my 12-year-old hands. With the help of a chair, I found them and ran back to her room. When I reached her bedroom, she looked so sick, and she told me to call her doctor. I bolted to the phone, somehow found his phone number, and called him. I remember it like it was yesterday. My voice and my hands were shaking, and I told him he must come right away because my grandmother was very sick. The doctor was terribly annoyed that I woke him up in the middle of the night and said he would see her in the morning. I yelled, "You have to come now," and he hung up on me. I called my parents and my father drove over. When my dad arrived, I was sitting next to my grandmother's lifeless body, and I was hysterical. My world was crushed, and I honestly didn't want to live anymore. I had so much guilt about not being able to convince that doctor to come to my grandmother's house. It took me many years to realize that I couldn't have saved her. She was 77 years old, and it was her time to die. So what does a 12-year-old child do with all that grief? I can remember feeling sick a lot, or sometimes even fainting. My mother didn't want me to take the train to Boston because she thought I would faint and fall on the train tracks. She was probably right. Then I had a bout with blindness. I told my mother I couldn't see, and I remember how blurry everything was that summer, and my eyes were so sensitive to light. She blamed the chlorine in the public pool and bought me some dark sunglasses. Of course, it never occurred to anyone to take me to the doctor. We were a practical blue-collar family, and we didn't have the money for doctors. I'm sharing this story because childhood trauma is shocking and confusing. As we get older, we downplay what happened to us as children. It's easier to forget. But what research is showing us now is that these childhood traumas not only can harm our mental health, they can also harm our physical health, especially as we get older. Studies are showing that emotional, mental, and physical trauma during childhood are correlated with a higher risk for many diseases during adulthood, including obesity, diabetes, cancer, and stroke. Recently, I listened to a very interesting TED Talk by a doctor named Nadine Burke Harris, who specializes in childhood trauma. And according to Dr. Harris, and I'm quoting, childhood trauma unfolds across a lifetime, to the point where those who've experienced high levels of trauma are at triple the risk of heart disease and cancer. So, now that we know that childhood trauma can wreak havoc on our physical health, how can we fight back? By nourishing our bodies and soul with healthy, clean, plant-based nutrition. That can nurture us. That can heal us. Reclaiming your health and redefining what role food plays in your life creates a powerful mind-body relationship. This mind-body relationship can play a critical role in your health, in your mind. If you nurture your body, your mind will follow. Discover that the ordinary, as in food, is the miraculous solution to so many chronic diseases. It's not going to be easy at first, and you don't have to be perfect. This connection between childhood trauma and disease is another reason to step back and realize that your disease or unhealthy habits are not your fault. There's a lot of guilt associated with not being healthy and with obesity, type 2 diabetes, and even cancer. And so much is out of our control, but not what we consume. We can change that. Think of a plant-based diet as a suit of armor. When you put on that plant-based armor, you can go out in the world and fight off attacks from the enemy. And that enemy is chronic disease. Now, let's talk about today's podcast subject. It's called calorie density. Calorie density explains why vegans can increase food by 33% and decrease calories by 33%. Calorie density has been called the simplest approach to healthful eating and lifelong weight management. The first time I heard about calorie density was a talk by a man named Jeff Novick. Jeff Novick is the head of health promotion for the McDougall program. If you're not familiar with the McDougall program, it was all started by Dr. John McDougall. Dr. McDougall is a heart surgeon and best-selling author. He has written many books on the connection between animal protein and heart disease. He advocates a diet that excludes all animal protein and oil and includes many starches such as potatoes, rice, and corn. He has helped thousands of people reverse heart disease with his diet approach. At any rate, Jeff Novick explains the calorie density approach like this. A food high in calorie density has a large number of calories in a small weight of food, whereas a food low in calorie density has many fewer calories in the same weight of food. He says foods low in calorie density also tend to be higher in satiety. Satiety is the state of being completely satisfied with food and you don't crave it anymore. By consuming foods lower in calorie density, one can fill up on fewer calories without feeling hungry. Usually, you can figure this out by knowing how many calories are in a pound of what you are eating and go from there. So, let's say broccoli is 154 calories per pound, and a bagel is 1,200 calories per pound. With each bite of bagel, you are taking in 12 times as many calories as each bite of broccoli. So all calories are not created equal. Calorie-dense foods such as cakes, cookies, donuts, processed foods, and fast foods like cheeseburgers and French fries provide many calories in a small amount of food and don't leave you satiated. Even common condiments like regular salad dressing, which is approximately 1,700 calories per pound, or butter and margarine, which are 3,200 calories per pound, or even olive oil, which is 100% fat and over 4,000 calories per pound. I know what you're thinking. I don't eat a pound of butter or oil. But even a tablespoon or two of those all-fat, high-calorie, low-satiating foods could be replaced with loads of vegetables or fruits for so many less calories and little or no fat. Always remember, adding fat always raises calorie density and lowers satiety. Now, examples of nutrient-dense foods that fill you up without saturated fat are all vegetables, berries, melons, leafy greens, sweet potatoes, and grains like quinoa, barley, bulgur, and legumes like lentils and beans and fruits. The more fruits and vegetables you eat, the better. Because when you focus on foods that are high in water, fiber, and volume, like fruits, vegetables, starchy vegetables, legumes, and grains, you are consuming foods with a lower calorie density. So here's an example of how to do this. Let's say, next time you make pasta, instead of 3 cups of pasta with 1 cup of pasta sauce for 600 calories, have 1 cup of pasta with 1 cup of sauce and 4 cups of vegetables, which is 400 calories and only 200 calorie density. Adding vegetables always lowers calorie density and raises satiety. You can add all the vegetables you want without gaining weight, and you will feel full and satisfied without any bloating or that uncomfortable feeling of eating too much. So heap lots of good healthy food on your plate, and you can pretty much eat as much as you want. It's called smart eating, eating food that keeps you full and happy. Hope I explained that okay. It was confusing to me the first time I heard Jeff Novick talk about it, but I will include lots of information in this week's show notes. Now, here are some other foods that can help keep you satiated. Everyone is always surprised when I say this, but don't drink your calories. Liquid calories have little satiety, especially when you disrupt the fiber in a vegetable or fruit. You lose bulking capacity. So instead of blending an apple, eat an apple. Also, eat lots of filling food that are high in water weight, like broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, grapefruit, lettuce, radishes, and spinach. Try to eat calorie density foods first. So start your meals with a soup or salad and use fresh vinegars and citrus on your salad. Always avoid processed salad dressings. Also, include a leafy green like kale, Swiss chard, or spinach. Leafy green vegetables are one of my favorites. They are full of fiber and calcium. They are also high in vitamins A and E, which really helps with skin health. If you're not crazy about leafy greens, transform them with vinegars or saute onions and garlic and add leafy greens and cook them until they're tender. Or you can chop and stir leafy greens into soup, stews, or pasta sauces. Now let's talk about fruits. Eat more fruits by freezing fruits like grapes, bananas, and mangoes. Then eat them like ice cream, topped with chocolate balsamic vinegar or maple syrup. Always keep fresh fruits on hand, especially apples. When you feel like snacking, slice an apple, top it with some nuts or hemp seeds, my favorite, and a little maple syrup. I promise that snack will satiate you. Well, that's it for this week. I hope this information helps you understand how you can increase food by 33% and decrease calories by 33%. Now, let's see what's cooking in Ordinary Vegan's plant-based kitchen. Today, I want to share my recipe for rich, delicious, vegan mushroom gravy. Sometimes we need comfort food, and this gravy hits the spot. It tastes delicious over a heap of potatoes. It also tastes delicious on one of my favorites, cauliflower mash. Cauliflower mash is easy to make. You just roast cauliflower in a 400-degree oven until it's soft and brown, and mash it up with some almond milk. Then pour this gravy all over it. I promise you'll love it. This recipe makes approximately 3 cups. Here are the ingredients. 1/3 cup of low-sodium vegetable broth for sautéing, and an additional 3 cups of low-sodium vegetable broth for the gravy. 1/4 cup of dry red wine. 1 cup of chopped white onion. 4 garlic cloves chopped. 8 ounces of mushrooms, any combination. I like portobello and white. Next, 1 teaspoon of poultry seasoning. Don't worry, poultry seasoning doesn't include poultry. If you don't like buying something with the word poultry in it, I will put the recipe for poultry seasoning in my show notes. 2 tablespoons of fresh thyme chopped. 2 tablespoons of fresh rosemary chopped. 1/2 teaspoon of salt and ground black pepper. And you will need these ingredients for the paste. 2 tablespoons of reduced sodium tamari sauce or soy sauce. 3 tablespoons of nutritional yeast. 2 tablespoons of whole wheat flour. And if you want gluten-free gravy, use rice flour. 1/4 teaspoon of ground black pepper. Now here's what you do. In a large saucepan, heat the vegetable broth and season it with some salt and pepper. Add the onion and mushrooms and sauté for about 3 minutes. Add the garlic and sauté another 2 minutes. Add the red wine and cook for another minute, stirring constantly. Stir in the remaining 3 cups of vegetable broth, bring it to a boil, reduce the heat and simmer. Meanwhile, in a small bowl, whisk together the tamari, the nutritional yeast, and flour to form a thick paste. Add the mixture to the mushroom sauce, whisking constantly to make sure the paste dissolves. Bring it to a boil and boil another minute, stirring. Taste and add more salt and ground black pepper if needed. One note, if you prefer a thicker sauce, just thicken it with a little flour or cornstarch in 1 tablespoon of water. Keep adding and whisking to your desired thickness. I hope you enjoy this rich and delicious vegan gravy as much as I did. Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's plant-based recipes and tips. You can find all of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and show notes at ordinaryvegan.net. And if you get a minute, please join our community on Facebook, which has 265,000 community members who love supporting and helping each other. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan. If you get a minute, please leave a review on iTunes. If people enjoy the podcast, iTunes will give it a better position and expose it to more people. Thanks to voice extraordinaire Rick Savage, Kevin McPherson for the music, and to Doug Bonds for the spot-on sound. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.